sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save.
Welcome to The Holy Place, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Bill Mobley from Calvary Chapel Golf Coast in Estero, Florida. The Holy Place is the presentation of God's Word, simply teaching God's Word simply. The thirsty soul will be refreshed and the abundant life found. Today's message was recorded live at Calvary Chapel Golf Coast. For more information, visit the website calvarygc.org. That's calvarygc.org. Here's Pastor Bill.
It's just fascinating and fantastic to me that Jesus is not ashamed to call me his brother, his child. It redounds to me. It's like, you know, I love that God has always identified himself with his people. It is we ourselves that have struggled to identify with him. And in this environment, no more. That will never be the case again. And he will evermore provide all our needs. And that's a done deal, as it says there in the first part of verse 6. It is done. Everything that's being defined here, everything that's being revealed here, it is done. It has been completed at this particular point in, not time, at this particular point in eternity. And it is eternally done, and it is eternally done in the eternal now, which means that it is done new now for all eternity. It's pretty flabbergasting, pretty fantastic, if you stop to think about the fact that we will never thirst again. We will never thirst again, as he says there in verse 6. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. One of the causes of thirst, think this through with me, you know, God created man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. And so we understand that means that man is created with a triune nature, just like our God has a triune nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man is comprised of body and soul and spirit. And so the triune nature of man is what is intended there. But we also stop and think about the fact of what does man possess? When we are born into the world, what set of things, for lack of a better word, are we equipped with, are we born with? And one of those sets is emotions. We're an emotional people. And so we understand if God created us in his image, that we serve an emotional God. And that brings joy to my heart. I don't know what that says to you, but it brings joy to my heart. Now, he made us needy. God created man in his image, and we are needy. And that's part of the reason we're so upset when we're first born, because we're hungry, and we need to be fed, and we're thirsty, and all that sort of thing that comes along with that set of needs that we have. And all the drives that we have in our physical body, in our physical mortal bodies. And we also understand that those needs, We've been made needy to be seeking God to meet our needs. That's the ultimate fulfillment of every need that we have. Thirst being one of the primary ones. But what happens when you turn away from God to idolatry and begin to live lifestyles in alternative fashions is a different sort of thirst emerges. And it's a thirst for the things of the world. It's a thirst for satisfying your bodily desires and needs through idolatry, through the ways of the world, through the practices of the world. And that's the most frustrating thing there is, and that's the most thirst-producing thing there is. And it's the reason that people continue and continue and continue in their sin, and their sin gets greater and greater and greater, because what satisfies your thirst in one moment will not satisfy it for very long, and you'll have to accomplish even more to satisfy it the next time, and even more to satisfy it the next time. And the enemy knows that, and that's why he's always delivering temptation into your life based on the thirst that you have for worldly things. And it's why Jesus on the cross, think about it, what did he say? I thirst. What did Jesus become when he was on the cross? He became sin. God placed all of the sin of the world on Jesus on the cross. And he cries out, I thirst. And I don't understand all that, and I know that none of you understand all that, and I know that there's no way to really explain what all that means, but it does mean this. With all the sin of the world placed upon Jesus as a sacrifice for the sin of the world, he cried out, I thirst. And in the fulfillment of his death, burial, and resurrection, you'll never thirst again. And when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never thirst again. And that's the promise that's found here. And he says, you know, the basis for this is I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He says right there, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so all of your desires, all of your thirst will be met. They've been intended to be met in me, and now they shall be, as he says. And it's interesting when you think about him calling himself, him referring to himself, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What are the two books that the enemy makes the most fun of? What are the two books that the world makes a mockery of? The book of Genesis, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And God says, I am that. I am Genesis. I am the revelation. I am the beginning. I am the end. Think about that. God declaring that of himself. And John remembered, you know, what Jesus had said in that he recorded even later. You know, it sort of, knowing that the Gospel of John most likely was written after the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, to think about the things that John writes in his gospel after seeing these things, when he remembered from his life previous to being on Patmos what Jesus had said in John's gospel, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. First three verses of John chapter 14, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Fulfilled right here. This is the place, the new heaven and the new earth. It's the same thing that we've always prayed for. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, the model prayer. What do we say? Your kingdom come. Every day, over and over again, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. This is what we have been praying for. Does the fact that we were made in the image of God and God made us needy, does that mean that God has needs as well? And if you were going to ascribe any need to God, what would that be? That he refuses to create for himself, that he refuses to make happen. Love. He is love. There was love in the Godhead. Now he created man to love him. And he desires your love. Maybe need is too strong of a word, but he desires your love. That's why you're here. That's why he's made you. He's made you to love him in return. And he can't command that. You can only say, here I am on the cross. I'm dying to pay the price for your sins. And I desire that you would love me. And I can't compel. Love can never be compelled. Love is a decision that you make based on your experience. And all of our relationship with God is a response. We love him because he first loved us. And he demonstrates his love for us, and that Christ Jesus died on the cross. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may have the righteousness of God in him. And so what John is seeing what he is reminded of, the things, the kind of things we've been praying for. Well, we are reminded of the things that we've been praying for. Your kingdom come, now is. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, verse 9, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on the 12 of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. 3 gates on the east, 3 gates on the north, and 3 gates on the south, and 3 gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. It's a cube. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
You've been listening to The Holy Place with Pastor Bill Mobley from Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast in Estero, Florida. You can listen to today's study or any of Pastor Bill's teaching on the entire Bible at calvarygc.org. Just select any option under Media. Again, the website is calvarygc.org. Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast meets Sunday mornings at 10 and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. at 20991 Three Oaks Parkway in Estero, Florida, just about 0.3 mile north of Corkscrew Road. The phone number is 239-949-0914. That's 239-949-0914. The Holy Place is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Gulf Coast in Estero, Florida, and is a ministry to all of Southwest Florida. And remember, with God's word, you can make wherever you are a holy place. Make you